It's time for Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
Morena, Mayor Phil Goff, how are you this morning?
Ata Maria, I'm good after a long weekend, even though the weather was pretty poor, but it was quite good to have a break.
It is definitely good to have a bit of a sleep in, I reckon. Let's talk a wee bit. We're going to talk about the bike path announcement that happened at the end of last week. Also a little bit about water rates that are going to be rising and touch base on what's happening at Putiki Bay on Waiheke Island. Let's start with water rates because that has just been announced that they're going to go up by 7% here in Tāmaki Makaurau from the 1st of July 2022. And then we're going to see an increase in rates for the next few years, pretty much through until 2031. Now, that's quite a steep rates increase for water in the city. Why is it happening, first of all?
Well, I think there's three reasons. One, it's because of the growth in the city and the need for facilities to make sure that we've got a resilient water supply. Two, it's because of climate change and the fact that extended periods of drought or drier than normal conditions mean that our lakes are just not replenishing, and we're still seeing that. We're still below 50%, even though we're in winter now. And the third is about renewals, and you've only got to watch television each week and see what happens in a city like Wellington. When you don't renew assets that are sometimes 100 years old, you get water mains breaking, wastewater breaking, stormwater breaking. I think in the last 10-year plan that we're just putting through at the moment, we've increased by $4 billion the amount that we're spending in terms of water services, $4 billion. And it's critical work to do. So everybody understands that a basic necessity is water. We've got to get it right. We've got to have clean, reliable water supplies. We've got to clean up the wastewater, stop the wastewater going into the harbour. That's what the Central Intercept is about. And, you know, there's only one group of people that can pay for our water services, and that's the people that use them, whether you pay through your rates, which you do at the moment, or potentially your taxes if the government was going to fund anything under their three waters reform.
Do you think that the government should be funding something there? Because this is going to be quite a lot of money for some people. You know, we're seeing, as mentioned, 7% increase from the 1st of July next year, 9.5% increase each year from 2023 to 2029, and then a 3.5% increase in 2030 and 2031. That adds up to quite a lot overall from where we are now. As you mentioned, you know, it is important, and we need to make sure that we are investing in our water infrastructure, especially as the city gets bigger. But, you know, for people's lived experiences, this is quite a lot of money. Should the government be supporting this?
It is quite a lot of money, although, you know, I suppose when you look at it, we pay, you know, when the prices increase, they go up to $1.70 for every 1,000 litres of water that you use. And compared to what else we might buy for $1.70, having 1,000 litres of pristine, clean, safe water is pretty important. What the government's three waters reform showed that in the next 30 years, we're probably going to have to spend $185 billion on water across the country. You know, that's just mind-blowing stuff. And we're the government. You know, we pay for all that ourselves locally at the moment, but there are a whole lot of local councils that can't do that, which is why the government's looking at reforming the water supply process. And I think the government's going to have to help those small townships and maybe even small cities that just can't afford to pay for that on its own. Auckland, basically, when the government shelled out $750 million last year, not a dollar of that came to Auckland. And, you know, we weren't complaining about that. We've been standing on our own feet in that regard, and we've got the best water in the country, the best wastewater treatment in the country, and we've got the best conservation rates in the country. So there's a lot that Auckland can be proud of. The only thing that we could possibly do to ease off some of those increases if we borrowed more, but to borrow more, that's where you've got a debt-to-revenue ratio problem with council. You've got to have the revenue coming in to meet the cost of the borrowing. And if you don't do that, you lose your credit rating, you pay more for your borrowing.
Will there be any sort of financial assistance or payment plans possible for people who this is a big, you know, jump up in money, people in those lower income brackets? Is there going to be support for that group?
Yeah, and there needs to be. And the Watercare funds what's called the Water Utility Consumer Assistance Trust. and that supports customers who are suffering genuine hardship, and they can write off part or all of the amount owed. And they also fund home water audits to, you know, where a customer has a high water bill, they can get tailored advice on how they can reduce water use in their home. And that's pretty important as well. I mean, it's we do need to conserve water, particularly, you know, water that's been treated to the extent that our water has, and yet still, you know, maybe less than a year ago, but still there's a hell of a lot of wastage of that water. And a big part of what WaterCare needs to do, of course, is working up, renewing all of those old water lines, because we've got, it's one of the lowest in the country, but it still sounds remarkably high, probably about a 13% loss of water through leakage, much of which you never see because it leaks into our volcanic, you know, terrain, and you don't know that you're losing the water unless you've got a really smart meter system to determine that you are losing it, And WaterCare is, I think they've saved up to about 5 million litres a day in some of the work they've been doing on that recently.
Well, let's talk about the cycle pathway that's been announced last week. This is off the back of obviously a large protest action where cyclists took over a lane on the bridge about a week ago now, and Waka Kotahi has announced that there is going to be this new cycle bridge specifically put in place for pedestrians and cyclists to use. It's getting criticism from both sides of the spectrum, from cyclist advocates who are saying this is too expensive and not necessary, let's just use a lane of the existing bridge, and from people who are saying this is not the most important thing we should be doing. We should be making the bridge better for the vehicle transport that needs to use it. What's the way forward from here? Is this going to be the plan? What are we seeing, and is there more room for negotiation?
Well, first of all, it's not off the back of the protest, because the plans that have been drawn up were done months ago, not because of the protest.
But certainly that's been feeding into this conversation, and we've seen a definite conversation going on here. So this is, you know, all part of it. Where is the negotiation point from this place onwards?
I guess from the government's point of view, it's perfect proof you can't please all the people all the time. Look, if you were to close off a lane of the bridge, we'd argue, particularly during peak hour, and if you're going to do it for commuting, that's what you'd need. You'd end up with the same sort of problems that you ended up with you know, when the truck hit the strut, and there'd be greater congestion at the bridge. What the government's talking about is trialling recreational use of the bridge, you know, maybe on a Sunday when there's low traffic volumes. But, you know, the original plan was to clip something onto the side of the bridge, and that all seemed good, and it seemed to come at a ridiculously low price, $65 million. That didn't work. They looked at the sort of structure that you'd strap on the side of the bridge that would work. That then took it up to about $260 million, and that didn't work because the structural engineers said the bridge cannot take that weight clipped on the side. What you're talking about now is a very expensive project, but it's going to be there for generations. So it's enduring, and it's sustainable, and it's safe, and it will, for the first time ever, provide a proper connection between the people on the shore and the people in the city centre. And that will be used, I think, maybe not so much during the winter months, but it'll be used for commuting, particularly with people with electric bikes. It'll be used for recreationally. It'll be one of the most popular cycle paths in the country. It'll be popular for tourism. So if you're going to do it, and this is, you know, you can't put a cycleway on the tunnel, which is probably the next, you know, the third harbour crossing. So if you're going to have a cycleway, it's got to be fit for purpose. And frankly, you know, putting it up without the, you know, without the protection that you would want for cyclists and walkers, both in terms of safety, the railing, so that, you know, you know people aren't jumping off the side of it, falling off the side of it, being hit by cars because there's no proper barrier between, and not being blown about by the wind, then you have to have a proper construction done for it. And the design, which you might have seen in the Herald on Saturday, does look to be a really good design. It's being paid not out of your rates, but out of the central government, so I'm not complaining about the cost of it on the city. It will be fully met by central government, and I think in due course it will prove to be incredibly popular, both as a way of you know, commuting across the harbour and for recreational purposes. So I'm pretty happy about it, but you know, and I think the people that that are the bikers, I thought there may have been a little bit more enthusiasm for something that is fit for purpose, purpose-built, and fantastic for cyclists and walkers.
Well, let's just talk very briefly before we let you go about what's happening over on Waiheke Island. This is the Putaki Bay dispute, or the Kennedy Point Marina that is going on there at the moment. The occupiers at and protectors at Putaki Bay are calling on the Auckland Council to instigate a review of the resource consent. Now, is this something that the council is looking at doing? Is there a conversation between these groups and the council happening at the moment? What's the position from council?
No, the resource consent was given back in 2017. Since then, it's been to the Environment Court, it's been to the High Court, it's been to the Court of Appeal, and it's been to the Supreme Court. The legal action has been withdrawn because it has nowhere else to go, and each court has said the resource was properly applied. What you've got to remember about this was that right at the start, with the resource consent, very strict requirements were put on the developers to make sure that the breeding and the habitat of the korora, the little blue penguin, was not upset. We have appointed probably the foremost expert on the little penguin to ensure that the monitoring is correct and that nothing has done to disturb or to harm the little penguin. The truth is, the little penguin is regarded as an endangered species, but if you want to look at where the risk is coming from, it's coming from human beings and coming from dogs in areas where there is no protection. This area will at least provide some protection to the little
penguin.
There
has been very real concern from those people on the ground there, though, that those protections are not necessarily being upheld. You know, what does the council have to say to that accusation?
That's simply not true. We have sought input from the coastal and ecological specialists that know what they're talking about in this area to certify that the little penguin monitoring plan presented by the developer does ensure the well-being of the birds that are in that area. So, you know, every step, I'm satisfied from the briefings that I've been given, that every step that can be taken is being taken to ensure that the habitat, which ironically is a human-built habitat, you know, the breakwater, that the habitat continues to be a place where the little penguin can safely breed and live. And in fact, the construction won't take place at the time when you have the breeding season. So extraordinary steps have been taken to protect the little penguin. And I think it's also fair to say that, you know, many of those protesting about the marina are against the marina per se, not simply the little penguin. I believe very strongly we have to protect our bird life, and I'm satisfied from the extraordinary steps that have been taken and upholding of these by now four levels of courts that the proper protection will be in place.
Well, that's probably all we've got time for this morning. Thank you very much for your time today, Mayor Phil Gough. We'll talk to you again next Tuesday, and have a good week until then.
Thanks, Rachel. It's a nice short week for everyone, so go well.
Ka kite.
Ka kite.
That was Sounding Off with Phil Gough.